Hi, everyone. Welcome to Entrepreneurship by Design with Dr. C. I'm your host, Dr. Caroline, and thank you so much for joining us today. Entrepreneurship looks different for everyone. How and why we start our business, challenges that occur, pivots we have to make, success we achieve, all while life is happening. That's why I love sharing these inspiring entrepreneurs with you and shed light that there is enough room for everyone to succeed and thrive, even if you're in the same industry.
Even with two parents, whether married or not, they're going to have different parenting styles because they have their own unique backgrounds, their own unique values, their own unique cultures that are going to be different. And it's actually okay to have some differences in parenting styles, right? Mm-hmm. So I really help the parents figure out what's going to work best for them and their unique children, right? And the more that they can practice kind of tuning in and listening to themselves and ignoring the anxiety, putting that aside, recognizing like, yep, that's okay. I don't need to do this perfectly. I just need to do this well enough. I need to do the best I can with what I have and my unique wellness, right? Mm-hmm. And once they can start to trust themselves, it just comes naturally.
Nestled in the picturesque landscapes of Salem, Oregon, Angela Dube emerges as a beacon of support, seamlessly blending the roles of licensed marriage and family therapist and a globally recognized mom burnout coach. Passionate about optimizing mental health, Angela stands as a guide not only for her clients, but also herself, so that we can raise a great next generation of kids. Join us as we dive into the remarkable journey that brought her to this transformative intersection of therapy and coaching. Angela, thank you so much for being here today. And I would love for you to share just going from being a licensed marriage and family therapist to moving into coaching. What has your experience been around starting an online business, especially coming from a field where everything is confidential? I can share that as well. But what has your experience been like for you?
Yeah, it's been such a big transition. I feel like the training we've gotten as therapists is really all about, being this blank slate where, your client can just kind of bounce things off of you and you can be whatever they need, not really having much of a personality or an opinion. And the confidentiality of like, anything that you say, I'm not going to share anything, even the fact that you're coming to me, I'm not going to share. And then on the flip side, coaching is just such a completely different experience where it's a lot of giving advice. It's a lot of bringing my own personal experiences to the table. It's, sharing stories, not in the way of like, I'm going to say so-and-so's name and everything about them. But I think there's some benefit to hearing people's stories and knowing that you're not the only person going through this. This is somebody else's struggle too. This is how somebody else has gotten through this, that like we're all in this together. The confidentiality can be really isolating and, in so many ways just make us feel like we're the only ones experiencing these things where that's just not the case. So I have completely fallen in love with coaching and I'm still working as a therapist. And honestly, at this point, my work as a therapist, I take more of a coaching approach because I do feel like there's some real value with being a real human being and not just this blank slate, where I can share my knowledge, my insights, my experiences to support my clients with getting through whatever they're going through. And not to say that I'm like in there telling them what to do. It starts with asking a lot of questions and then it's getting clear on here are some ideas to brainstorm, right? And how can we tailor this to work best to you, right? What's going to work for you? What's not going to work for you? Here are some suggestions. Let's have a conversation about it. It's been a journey to make the transition, but it's been really fun and I'm really enjoying it. And it's, I think it was hard at first to step into this role that's more visible and where I need to be more publicly vulnerable. It was really scary. It brought up a lot of stuff for me. It brought up a lot of my own insecurities and past traumas and just all sorts of deep stuff that I've had to work through and I'm going to have to continue to work through. It's not like it's a one and done process. Right. So it was definitely surprising to me to see what would come up with this transition, but it's also been really fun to just branch out into a new way of being in the world and in a way that feels really positive and helpful and rewarding.
Absolutely. And I think that is a really hard transition. Just me personally, going from therapist to coach was very hard to be vulnerable, to share my story. It's in parts. I was like, I'm not ready. It's like too vulnerable. But I'm really curious, what was the drive to even go into coaching from therapy for you?
So, I mean, it's a few different things. So my background is working as a child therapist, and I don't think I realized this at the time when I chose the path to specialize in children, like, but I was totally like wanting to take care of little Angela and heal little Angela's wounds. And, you know, I think what I've realized over time more and more is that the best way to support kids is to support their parents, because you can work with the kid until, you know, we can work with the kid for years. And if things aren't being changed or reinforced at home, it's not going to stick, right? And a lot of times parents are needing more support at home because this is a hard job, right? We don't like... I was a child therapist before I was a parent. I like to joke that I've gotten my master's degree in parenting. Parenting is freaking hard. Like, it was so hard. I felt like I was totally thrown in the deep end when it came to parenting my own child. So, you know, I do believe that parents really need support. And parents are with their kids 24/7, where a therapist might be with them for an hour a week. The real change needs to happen from the parents to make deep, lasting change. So, you know, in my therapy work, my focus has really shifted from working with the kids to more working with the parents. So I do a lot of parent coaching. I do co-parenting counseling. I do individual therapy for parents. I still do a little bit of child and teen therapy. But when I do, I'm also working with the parents. The parents are not exempt from that process. So yeah, several years ago, I came up with the idea of like, how can I really help parents dial in their own wellness? And, you know, I really just kind of pondered on it for honestly a couple of years of like, how can I help parents like streamline this and really take care of themselves so they can really be the best unique parents for their kids, right? I wouldn't say that there's one particular way of being a parent, but helping parents really do that deep inner work to find out how they can be the best version of themselves for their kids. So, you know, my coaching program that I have now has really been years in the making of compiling all of my therapy work, my parent coaching work, and really helping parents get clear on how to take care of their own emotional well-being, how to kind of dial into their natural intuition with parenting and make choices that are going to work for their unique family, because every family is so different. And another thing that contributed to the shift for me was that in January 2022, my oldest son went through a major trauma. And any parent who has had a child go through trauma can tell you that it's potentially even more traumatizing to the parents because we are the ones who are responsible for keeping our children safe. And when we do not uphold that responsibility, it cuts us to our core, and it's so painful to watch our children suffer. And that's the last thing any parent wants, right? This major trauma really upended our entire family. It had to completely reimagine my career path. We did a major move from California to Oregon so we could have a lower cost of living and more family support nearby. And yeah, I was solo parenting two traumatized children because my other son witnessed the trauma while traumatized myself. So like it was a really messy, painful time. And, you know, I was grateful to have so much of my training and skills in place because I feel like I was better prepared probably than the average parent to support my family through this hellish time, for lack of a better way of explaining it. Not that it was easy. I was struggling through the whole thing, but I feel like I was able to be stable enough for my kids to get us through it and create a new foundation for our family and make some big changes to make sure that things are better in the future and get everybody the support they need, right? And put on my own oxygen mask because I knew I was on empty. Like I was at rock bottom trying to function, trying to parent. I experienced really just kind of, I guess, reaffirmed my vision for my coaching program of just like, this is so important because unfortunately in life, bad things happen and we still need to show up as parents. We don't necessarily get a total blank, a total pass and not able to show up for our kids. And I know I can't show up perfectly for my kids and that needs to be okay too, right? So like hold myself with compassion rather than all of the mom guilt that so many of us feel when it comes to even just like, what am I feeding my kids? Never mind like going through something big, like a trauma.
Right.
So like I had to work through essentially my program on my own to get this. And kind of on the other side of healing from that trauma, my coaching business was born because it just really, all the more important of one, creating something a little bit more sustainable for myself and my own wellness, financially, professionally, time-wise. You know, I love being a therapist. I still work as a therapist to this day. I love the work. It's amazing. And it's really easy to burn out. It's heavy work. You know, I really created this so I could have a little bit more balance between the heavy therapy work where I'm talking about people's traumas and deep wounds to a more forward focused approach where I can help lead my clients through. So, you know, in a way, it's an act of self-care for myself and my family to make this shift of a more positive looking approach to supporting people.
Yes, absolutely. There's so much to unpack there, but what a journey going from just working in the field as a child therapist, being able to understand the children, realizing that a lot of times it stems from the parents, which stems from like a generational aspect. Just even working in schools when I did, I would see these kids all the time and I would just kind of look at the parents, and a lot of times the parents, some were super open to like wanting to do everything they could, others, not so much. And I was terrified to work with adults at first because when I started, I was 21. So I was very young and I was just like, okay, well, kids, like we're the same size. It's great. Fun size. But being able to move into working with adults and young adults, I really saw a transition of being able to help them because you're helping the whole family system. Because just like you, my background is marriage and family therapy, and understanding the dynamics of each person and how it all really transpires from one person, how it can really impact each person in the family, whether you see it or not. A lot of times the child's the identified patient or client, when in reality, it's the whole unit. Everybody's contributing to something. And I know we could have a whole conversation on that itself, but I love that you really turned something that was so painful and traumatic into a purpose and being able to help coach families, but parents in particular, of putting their own oxygen mask on first, because I truly believe that put yourself at the top of the priority list so you have more overflow to give versus just being depleted at the end of the day. And I mean, I'm like, I don't even know where to start. There's so many things I want to touch on, but I will ask you about the burnout piece, because I think a lot of people in the therapy world have moved into coaching And because of burnout, that was one of the prime reasons I left the field as well. But what was your experience with burnout? What were some of the symptoms you experienced as well? I know there was a lot going on, but what was really going on for you with the burnout piece?
I think to some extent I had gotten to the point with burnout where I just thought this was normal, like that this is just the normal way of being in the world. Exhausted, completely exhausted, irritable. When I've experienced burnout, when, since I've been a parent, it's been snapping at my kids, just do what I say. Have no patience. It's hard to play or have fun or be present, right? And, before I had kids, like I remember taking a vacation from my job and traveling and having all these grand plans of things that I was going to do. And then honestly, I just wanted to sleep the whole time, just having no energy. And I had gotten to the point where I just thought this like low, irritable mood and being tired all the time was just normal. Like this is just life, right? Like this is just life in general. And then when I had kids, like this is just what parenting is, right? Like you're tired, you're sleep deprived, you're like this is just what life is, right? And it took some real, I don't know, self-awareness and realizing that there are other options out there to recognize, like, oh, maybe this isn't normal. Maybe this isn't the way it has to be. Maybe, I can have energy and be happy and present and find joy and feel love. Like, whoa, I knew that I didn't have to just feel like anxious and depressed all the time.
Oh, yeah. And that's a huge part of it. I understand the factor of you just, it becomes the norm because there's such high stress that you're dealing with, crisis and intervention of just what's going on in the therapy room. But then you go into real life and then you're just like, I just want to sleep. I just want to veg out. I just want to shut the world off or watch something so silly because I can't watch anything that's too heavy because I just saw that in my office all day. So it's so interesting because I know everybody's burnout story is very different. I had a lot of similarities to you of just the tiredness, irritable, thought that was the norm and that was just how my life was going to be the rest of my life. And we sometimes don't even know how to get out of that. But how did you get out of the burnout?
Yeah, I would say it was stages for sure. Like when I was pregnant with my oldest, I had a very intense job all through the pregnancy where I was working really long hours. I was working with a lot of clients who were in poverty and had really horrific trauma. I had a lot of sexual abuse cases and my son was born, and I realized that I was afraid to change his diaper because of all of the sexual abuse trauma cases that I had had. Do I have consent to touch your private parts? And it's like, no, you're his mom. Of course, you need to touch his private parts, right? So I think like part of it was just kind of recognizing that, like, no, this isn't okay. Like, yes, I'm functioning day to day, but like having these thoughts about being afraid to change my son's diaper because I'm afraid of sexually abusing him because of all these horror stories. That was kind of like step one of realizing I can't go back to that job after my maternity leave. Like, there's just no way. Like, this is not healthy for me. Well, maybe in general, but especially as a parent. I feel like there have been like a few moments like that where I'm just like, wait a minute. This isn't normal. This isn't how it has to be. So first, I feel like it's just recognizing it, right? And realizing like there can be a different way of being in the world and being a parent and all of that. Making big changes, right? So like in that situation, it was leaving a job and finding a new job. And I did find a new job that had much better balance. Caseloads were a lot less traumatic. I still worked with trauma, but it wasn't as intense trauma or so many of them. Like my entire caseload was heavy trauma, where now it was like I could pick and choose how much trauma I wanted to let into my work, which was really helpful.
Oh, absolutely.
So making big changes, and then likewise after my personal trauma back in January 2022, making a big change with the move to make sure I had more support. I would also say asking for help is a really big piece. So after the trauma in January 2022, there was a lot of shame around what had happened, both in our entire family, right? But the very next morning, I got on the phone and I called everyone everyone that I thought could help me. I called grandparents to say, this is what happened. I need you to do XYZ for my kids. I called daycare teachers. This is what happened. This is how I need you to support my kids through it. Like, just put the shame completely aside, get on the phone, activate help, right? And then I would say the other kind of part of getting out of burnout is just kind of putting aside all that perfectionism and standards. Like, this is the time for good enough. Good enough is going to be just fine, right? It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't even have to be good. It just needs to be good enough, whether it's parenting, work, whatever, and just kind of radically prioritizing my own self-care. Like, what is it that I need to do for my body and brain to help recharge and dig myself out of this hole? Yeah. So yeah, definitely a combination of things.
Yes, no, and I'm so glad you did ask for help and knew exactly who you could call. Part of it's just mother's intuition, I want to say, from just what I've spoken to you about, but also know your background and clinical work and everything you've done with children as well as their families. And I'm really curious, because once you did ask for help, you started to really look at the different ways you could get help. You asked for it, you did what you needed to do. And I think it's important just to highlight the fact that self-care is so important. The word's thrown around a lot more than like it was a few years ago, but realizing when we do take care of ourselves, we need to be sane. We need to be good enough, not perfect. And I'm a recovering perfectionist, so I definitely understand that, but knowing that it is good enough. Yes, a lot of us are. And I think it's just looking at all the different ways we can really help ourselves by asking for help. And I think that's the key to anything, especially in the stages of burnout, because I've burnt out more than once. And now I'm able to catch the cycle before I get into that cycle, because thank God. But I think it doesn't always go away, but we're able to manage things in a better light and understand, okay, this is what I need to do right now. There's a crisis. We need to focus on that. And then the healing can happen after that, because you're in management mode of just making sure everything is okay and protecting your children through the trauma that they just had witnessed or indirectly witnessed or experienced.
Yeah. And kind of just like an additional thought on asking for help, because it is really vulnerable and it's really scary, because a lot of times it's admitting that there is a problem or maybe something wrong, and we open ourselves up for judgment and criticism and whatnot. And if we don't take that risk, we don't get any help. So like I said, you know, in my experience with my son's trauma, I got on the phone with everyone, right? Like I was over calling friends to be like, I need you to just be here for me, right? I had called my boss to what had happened, and thankfully, you know, child therapist, like, what resources can you share with me?
Exactly.
But I also had some experiences that didn't go so well. I had a couple of friends that I did lean on, and in the beginning were helpful. But I think I also leaned on them a little too much, because trauma is heavy, right? Yeah. And I lost a couple of really important friendships through this experience. Like, there is risk involved.
Right.
And that doesn't mean we shouldn't ask for help.
Oh, yes. Just wanted to take a second for that, because I think that's so important, because it is really hard to be vulnerable. There's a strength to it, though, and not everyone's going to receive that when we ask for help. They might help in the beginning and then kind of veer off, but that's part of life. People come and go for seasons of our lives. Even really important people we've been friends with for a very long time, I've experienced that. I experienced that during my wedding planning, out of all things, but you really see who your true friends are, or the people that can be there for you. They might not want to be able to take on all of that, but want to be there in the way they can be. And sometimes you do go your separate ways, and sometimes you come back together, but there's a lot of healing that is involved in that as well. And every situation is different, but I'm really glad the people you did lean on that were there for you were able to help you navigate such a difficult time for your whole family and be there, and you came out on the other side. And I'm sure there's other things that pop up here and there, but being able to really contain that, and you did something about it. I think that's the biggest point. And even just with parenting, because I know you're a parent coach and you really work with the whole family, whether it's through coaching or therapy. I'm really curious because there's a lot of different parenting styles on like out there. I know when I was learning all about child psychology, when I was in school, there was four different parenting styles. Now there's a lot more like gentle parenting, other things. I'm really curious how you incorporate that for your clients, but also yourself.
Yeah, there's so many different styles out there. And honestly, I think we live in a period of time that makes it a little confusing because there's so much information out there. It's like, well, what's the right way? This person says this way is the right way. This person says this way the right way. And it just gets so confusing. And yeah, I feel like it's just so easy to fall in these traps of like doing what we think is best from a place of anxiety, of like, I am worried about raising good kids. I don't want to mess them up. This is what the book says that I need to do. Therefore, I'm going to follow it and do it just right. And it honestly, like when we parent from that place of anxiety, like that messes up our kids too. I don't say that with any judgment because I've totally been there. Like, I feel like that was the first several years of my kid's life of like, well, what's the right way to put him to bed? What's okay? Where are we? Like, is it okay if I rock them to sleep, or am I going to cause horrible sleep issues for the rest of their lives? Right. There's so much information out there that contradicts each other. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, what really is important is what works best for you specifically and your specific family, right? So, you know, co-sleeping, for example, is such a hot topic with babies, like co-sleeping and sleep training and all of that, right? There's so much heated debate around it. And so many people are like, this is the right or wrong way to do it. So when I first, you know, when I was pregnant with my oldest, I really thought I was going to co-sleep. I was like, that just sounds so lovely, right? Like to just share a bed and have him feed whenever he needs to feed and just snuggle. Like that sounds great. There was no way in hell when he was born that I could sleep with having this wiggly little child attached to my body all night. Like I just could not sleep. So I swung in the complete opposite direction where I ended up sleep training. And I had a lot of anxiety around that too, right? Like it was really challenging decision for me. But honestly, it was okay. It depends on what works for you. I've heard so many stories of people who thought they were going to sleep train and ended up co-sleeping and having it be a beautiful thing, right? There's no right or wrong. There's no right or wrong with any of it. It's all about what works best for your unique family, your unique child. And even two kids with the same DNA are going to need different things. So my two kids are wildly different and totally need completely different parenting styles. And that's just what we do. We make the best of what we have, right?
Absolutely. And I'm glad you brought that up because I always tell my family, I'm like, and my sister, brother, and I are all very different and we need different things. And I feel like, you know, it's interesting all the education I got from marriage and family therapy and understanding, oh, okay, like not every child needs the same type of parenting. And my parents did parent us a little bit, like, especially because it's two girls and a boy and like just even how they interact with that. I'm like, oh, okay, this is interesting. Just taking note of this. I definitely went on a deep dive in my own family during my education, but I'm just curious because with the fact that two children are going to be completely different, need completely different things, how does that work in your parenting coaching? Because a lot of times maybe a parent, they're one way and it's really hard to veer off of like, well, this is what I did with the first one, or this is what I've always done. Like those kinds of comments. How do you navigate that with your coaching?
Yeah. So with my coaching, I really help the parents understand themselves very well and their own values. Because here's the thing, even with two parents, whether married or not, they're going to have different parenting styles because they have their own unique backgrounds, their own unique values, their own unique cultures that are going to be different. And it's actually okay to have some differences in parenting styles, right? Mm-hmm. So I really help the parents figure out what's going to work best for them and their unique children, right? And the more that they can practice kind of tuning in and listening to themselves and ignoring the anxiety, putting that aside, recognizing like, yep, that's okay. I don't need to do this perfectly. I just need to do this well enough. I need to do the best I can with what I have and my unique wellness, right? And once they can start to trust themselves, it just comes naturally.
Yes, I'm glad you brought up the fact that parents can come from completely different backgrounds, because that's something my husband and I are talking about, like when we do have children and growing our family, because he like our families are similar in a lot of ways, but very different. And even just how we parent our dog, like how that is a little bit different as well. But I think when people are coming from different culture backgrounds, different viewpoints, can be really challenging, and having those conversations before you have kids, but it can look really different, just like what you mentioned with co-sleeping and sleep training, how that can look different until the child is here and you start to really understand. Obviously, this is not my wheelhouse, but from your experience, I'm really curious. I kind of want to dive into gentle parenting, because before we were talking about it, just having a conversation of how there needs to be that balance, just like what we said right now as well, where you might have that you don't want to do anything your parents did and you want to do completely different, but then there's this complete curve onto, well, gentle parenting, having it where there's no boundaries sometimes. And I mean, how can you really identify your viewpoint of just the different styles and really with gentle parenting? Because I've been hearing so much about it lately, and I just am curious on your take.
I feel like so many of us have had these experiences growing up where we're like, I don't like that. I don't like how my parents handled this. I'd say definitely with a lot of older generations of parenting styles, it was a lot of just do what you're told because you're the child, you're supposed to just do it because I said so. And there's been a big swing with more current generations of parents like wanting to be more emotionally supportive, emotionally attuned. I want to be my kid's friend. And the reality is that we really need to find a balance in between the two. But there is some validity and need to having structure, routine, boundaries, rules, consequences, not punishment, but consequences, right? Like, yeah, if you don't get ready in the morning, you're going to be late for school and you need to feel that pain to recognize that you need to make a change, right? But I think a lot of people, and not everybody, with gentle parenting can really take it to the extreme of I'm going to try and protect my children from everything. I'm going to try and protect my children from any kind of discomfort. I'm always going to be there. I'm going to neglect myself to be able to support my kid with whatever they're needing. And honestly, that's doing your kids a disservice because they're not learning how to support themselves or regulate themselves or know where the boundaries are. And it can cause a lot of anxiety because kids who grow up with this experience of just having everything taken care of for them and not knowing where the limits are always then wondering what's the limit and feeling like they have a lot of power. And that can be really scary for kids and can cause anxiety. So it's really about finding a balance. It's finding a balance of like, how can I give you this firm structure and support and boundaries so you can feel safe and at the same time validate your feelings and support you with your feelings.
Yes, absolutely. You know, when you were saying that, what popped in my head, I just recently, I think it was yesterday, I saw an Instagram reel of a parent talking about how they don't say be careful to their child. And the child is about like 2 or 3, and they'd started doing this when the little girl was a baby, and saying how anytime she's like veering off, how does your body feel? How does your mind feel? And like getting in tune with what feels safe for the individual. And it just, it kind of brought to what you were saying, there's a balance, understanding when to kind of let go, but also obviously it's going to be different. And I think every parent does the best they can with what they know. And there's a lot more information now than maybe 30, 40 years ago, like when our parents were raising us, or even their parents, and how it really has shifted. But I think a lot of parents now, from who I've spoken to, talk about the generational traumas and other factors, and they don't want those things to repeat. So it's almost like the other side of where people are at, because they don't want to repeat the same thing from past generations, whether it's just any capacity. So I just find it so interesting how it's trusting your intuition, though, because I think every parent has that, from what I've heard. I'm not a parent yet, but from those experiences of just how to really navigate that in the best way we can. And I'm really curious, because I know you've worked with so many families, parents in particular, what is one success story you could share with us of just really utilizing the different parent styles for that family?
Yeah, I mean, The story that's popping into my head right away is actually working with a family who is from Turkey, but living in the United States. And that was just really interesting to me because of just the huge cultural differences between my experiences as a parent and growing up in America versus, you know, this family who is from a totally different region of the world, living in America where there are certain cultural expectations and seeing the mismatch between them. So one thing I've seen a couple times with different cultures, I've seen this in Turkish families, I've also seen it with Indian families, is how they feed their children versus how like Americans feed their children. It's just a very different process. It's a lot of like kind of chasing the kid around and like following them with a spoon and getting them to eat their entire bowl of food, where, you know, I think with American families for the most part, right? Like I'm making broad generalizations here. It's like, you either eat or you don't. Here's your food. Go ahead, do it yourself. Like we're not, right? So it's a little bit more self-sufficient, a little bit more independence. And you know, this family came to me for lots of different reasons, but this was one of the things that came up, was like, my kid's not eating, my kid not even feeding themselves, like this must be a big problem. And, you know, just kind of being able to dive into it and unpack it and kind of getting at like, what are your values around this? Like, what is actually important to you as an individual, as a couple, as parents, versus what society around you is telling you to be like, right? Because if this family were in Turkey, this wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah.
This would have just been normal, right? So like, we got to really kind of dig in to their own experiences growing up, their family experiences, and getting clear on like, well, what is important? And, you know, I gave them suggestions for them to just play with and explore. And sometimes those suggestions are like, no, that's not right for me. And it helps recognize like, no, that's not the experience. That's not what I'm going for, right? It helps us notice that there's a mismatch. So eventually the parents decided they didn't have a problem, that this is part of their culture. And it was aligned with their values of wanting to make sure that their child was eating nutritious food and getting enough food and, you know, acquiring a taste for the foods from their culture, right? So it's really all about what's going to work for you, not what society is telling you you're supposed to do. Right? Because there's so much advice out there on how to parent correctly. And it just causes anxiety. It makes us think that there's something wrong with us, that there's something wrong with our kids. And maybe there isn't a problem after all. Maybe it's just in our heads and society is telling us there's a problem when there's not.
Society. But that's the reality, right? I think a lot of times when we see so much out there, there's so much information. It's like paralysis of analysis. Like there's just so much. What's the right way? Don't want to mess up my kid. I want them to have the best of the best. And I want to bring up a human being. That's what I think a lot of people at the end of the day want. And it can get really murky if you're seeing all these things and it doesn't align with you or the child. Because it might align, not align with you, but aligns with the child, where it's going to help them grow and foster and be the person they're supposed to be. Because I do think a lot of times society, or parents in particular, from my clinical experience, where they have these dreams for their children and they want them to continue to maybe live vicariously through their child or anything like that, where they're really hard. I've been reading Britney Spears' new book. It came out like a few months ago, but I've been reading her parents and how they brought her up, and also like how her grandparents brought up her father, the mother, and those dynamics. And I just always am fascinated by family dynamics. So I'm like, oh, tell me more. I still have my foot in there. But I think it's just interesting because she went through so much trauma at such a young age. And it was different for her little sister versus her brother. And just all those dynamics, how it can really impact it. And I just see that even with friends and close family members, how their experience looks so different because you're coming from that lens. But I mean, we could talk about this for hours, but I want to kind of jump back to the business side of things. And I'm really curious, what has been something that you've encountered while building your business that really surprised you from going from in the therapy world to coaching?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest things that really surprised me was just more how it impacted my own emotional wellness and how it just made me so much more aware of certain things that were going on for me. Like, oh, starting a business has been such a vulnerable experience of, you know, being more visible, sharing my story. And that's brought up a lot of stuff around, you know, my own confidence. Like, can I actually position myself as knowing what I'm doing? Can I position myself as knowing what I'm doing after my child has been through trauma, you know, right? Like, it brought up a lot of shame, fear, trauma, a lot of things that I've had to work through. So yeah, the biggest thing that's been surprising to me is like the deep inner work I have had to do to move this forward.
Right. Absolutely. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs do go through that. We don't talk about it enough, but it's all the deep work and having to face a lot of things, because I feel like in the therapy world, you're facing things a lot of times. I don't know if you've experienced this, where it's like a full-on mirror of my life. When a client would come in, I'm like, oh, okay, I got to work on that. I get it, universe. I get it. But I think with coaching or just even building a business, there's so much that goes into it. And you're building a business when you have a practice and for therapy as well. But I think with coaching, you're sharing more of yourself. You're putting yourself out there. And that is very scary at first. And then you get a little more comfortable with it. But each time you level up, it gets a little bit more scary in that level. And then you're like, okay, I got this. And then it's the next challenge. And I'm curious, what are some of the obstacles you've had to face in building your business? What has that looked like for you?
Yeah, I mean, I would say the biggest obstacles has really been like the mindset and the inner growth stuff, getting more comfortable being visible and presenting myself in a confident way and whatnot. And then like also just some serious skill building, right? Like running online coaching business is a very different experience than running a private practice and getting therapy referrals. Like, it's just such a different process of how you meet people and have people come to you. And it's a lot more proactive in a lot of ways to kind of, I'm building relationships, but we're becoming, you know, entering a contract together. And it's just a very different skill set. I learned so much like about myself, about, you know, how to market myself and all of that. Like, there have just been so many things, so many skills that I'm like, wow, I didn't even know I needed to know that, but there it is.
Yeah, no, it's true, because in the therapy world, if you're taking insurance, clients are kind of given to you in that capacity. Obviously, you have to have that conversation, make sure it's a good fit. But with coaching and just putting yourself out there, it is building the relationship first, which is like completely against the therapy world. Like, everything's confidential. Like, you don't have any relationship outside of the room, like all those things. But I love that you brought up the technology piece, because I'm curious, what are some of the tools or one tool that you use that's been really helpful in building your business tech-wise?
One tool. I use Kartra quite a bit. I would say that probably the one I use the most, just because it's got like builders, and also it's where I house my email list so I can send email newsletters. I'd say it's a simplified way of building a website in a lot of ways. So it's been nice to just kind of have all that in one place, and has funnels, and it also has a membership section. So once I kind of get on top of that, and it's something I've been avoiding because I hate like those tedious technological tasks. Oh, yeah. I've got all my videos, but I just need to like put them in Kartra. Like, I'm totally avoiding it. But it's a pretty powerful tool, which is great and more affordable than some of the other ones that are out there.
Yeah, that can be really challenging, having things all over the place, but having it in one place really helps solidify it, even though the avoidance is there a little bit. I'm sure by the time this goes live, it will be up and running. A girl can hope. And just even with just not the next few years, what do you foresee for your coaching practice, your therapy practice, life in general? What are some of the things that you're looking forward to or wanting?
Yeah. Well, with the coaching business, I really want to, I'm doing one-on-one coaching right now, but I really do want to have a group program, right? So I have a course that kind of leads my clients through the process of kind of tuning in a little bit more, regulating more of that. But I feel like the group community experience is just going to be so much more healing, even though it is more vulnerable, right, to show up in front of a group. But making these changes are hard, and it's nice to have support around it. Of like, yeah, we're all committed to this journey of doing things a little differently than what everybody else is telling us to do. I feel like that community support is so important. So a huge goal of mine is, you know, having a group up and running, having my course finally in Kartra. I'll get to that eventually.
Well, we're manifesting it right now.
I so avoid the technology stuff.
Yeah.
In terms of my private practice, so a year and a half ago, I moved from California to Oregon. So right now I'm in the process of really establishing myself more here in the local community. So a lot of building relationships and starting to get more local clients. I'd love to get to the point where I'm seeing clients in person again, because I really miss that energy. I just feel like it feels so nice. There are a lot of benefits from working from home that I'm also super grateful for and I absolutely love, but it is nice to get out of the house and see people in real life too.
You know, just a few months ago, I finally like got out of the house. I'm like, okay, I need to connect. But I love what you're building and being able to really put it out there to have those connections in person, having a group membership. It's already in there. You just got to make it happen, which I totally foresee, because I think that community support is so vital in all of our growths, because we can learn from each other. We don't have all the answers. We are not perfect. But I love that it's really bringing that community support to help other parents and just realize you're not alone, because I feel like that can be really lonely, or feel like you're doing it the wrong way or this or that, or all the things that come up in our vortex of life and just like, okay, well, no, this is not it. But realizing that community piece is so vital. And I'm really curious, what advice do you have for entrepreneurs that are on this journey, or in particular therapists going into the coaching world? Because I'm seeing a lot more. Wasn't as familiar or visible when I started, but I'm curious your experience.
Yeah, I guess the advice I would give is to get help. You don't have to do this on your own. There's so much that we don't know that we don't know. And yeah, you're not even going to know what it is until you open yourself up to it. So whether it's recognizing that you have some deep inner work that you need to do to move forward, get help with that. If it's like, oh, there are certain skills that I clearly don't know because I'm not making sales, or I don't know how to set this up or whatever, go get help. Like you need help, you need support, you need a guide. In order to grow. Otherwise, yeah, if you're trying to do it completely on your own, you're gonna stagnate.
Yeah, that's good advice. Definitely wish I knew that in the beginning, but I think it's gonna help a lot of people. But I've been so enjoying this conversation, Angela. Where can people find you, find your services? We're gonna link everything below, but if you could let us know too.
Yeah, so I am most active on Facebook. So you can look me up, Angela Doobie, or my business page, which is Self Care Parenting. And I have a Facebook group for moms called Self Care Mamas with Angela. And I'm also on Instagram and LinkedIn. If you search for Angela Doobie or at Hey Coach Angela, you'll find me there too. But I'm not the best about checking those, to be honest.
Usually focus on Facebook. I love it. Well, Angela, thank you so much for sharing your beautiful energy with us. Just really diving into the parenting styles, how we can really help other parents just feel a little less heavy with all the weight they're carrying from everything they're juggling. But thank you again for coming on and just sharing your journey with us.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me. This is wonderful.
Absolutely. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment below what was the biggest takeaway from today, and we'll see you on the next episode.